So today is the Easter, and as I was asking the children, and some of them may not be happy because service is too long, I don't blame them, because I remember when I was 3 or 4, my mother took me to a church. It was a summer day. I was trying to take a nap because I had no idea what the preacher was talking about, but he was so loud that he was constantly waking me up. That was my first impression about my first church, which wasn't fun. Or, for the adults, you know, are you really here because you really believe Jesus was resurrected? Or this is your custom, tradition, history, that you felt that you have to do this? Hey, this is Easter. I've been doing this ever since I was a kid. My parents are doing it, grandparents are doing it, so maybe I should do it. Well, you're not really alone. Even in the very gospel, even in the very first generation, even the disciples of Jesus Christ were having problem with, was he really resurrected or was he not? Even the four gospels don't exactly tell the same story about it. And today's scripture reading, Mark, has two versions of ending. The first version actually ends saying that, and all that had been commanded them, meaning that simply just wrapping up after these three ladies went to see the empty tomb and this man in a white robe told them that Jesus was risen. And it ends. So, was this man in a white robe an angel or just a man? We don't know. We assume that there was an angel. We assume that was the message. But according to Mark, that's how it ends. And they were terrified. Tomb was open. Body of Christ wasn't there. There's a man in a white robe saying he was risen. And that's the end of the story. And I believe no one really likes that kind of ending. Do we? There's no closure. Why am I bringing it to you? Because Mark is supposedly the oldest gospel written. Mark is supposedly the most historically accurate gospel. Four gospels has very distinctive nature and their own characteristics and message. Matthew wrote everything to the Jews. So when you read Matthew, you read all the prophecies. And Matthew constantly tried to confirm that this is the Christ that was prophesied here. This is the Christ. This is the Christ. Well, when you move to Mark cuts out all the other stories. He begins with the baptism, ends right here. He just gives the basic fact that he had gathered, probably. If you go to Luke wrote it to the Romans. So he is the one who creates the most full, complete, sophisticated story. So if you, all the Christmas stories that you know, if you want to read them, it's all in Luke. Mark skips them all. John is kind of alien. I call it adopted child in a way. Three Gospels are called the synoptic, meaning they share about the same basic line together, about 70 to 80%. John tells something entirely different. And John may be connected to the ancient mystical spirituality. May have some connection to the nowadays famous Gnostics. But John is very different. Even the ones who actually was there and saw it have these differences. Now we're living 2,000 years later. And we're reading these books. And other books. Or trying to say, I believe. So that's why I gave this question to you. When will you believe? Disciples were not believing it until they saw it with their own eyes. Maybe you are believing it. Maybe you're not believing it. Let's go with this question that I kind of wanted to give it to you. The question itself is the message, actually. When will you believe? When indicates time. But at the same time, in a Greek word, there are two words that are used to indicate time. One is kairos, another is chronos. Chronos is the time as today, tomorrow, a week later, a month later. Like when my son asks me, Dad, when can I have bike? I tell him, when you're 5 years old. That's more like, you know, chronos. But when he's asking, Dad, when I go to camping, or maybe more sophisticated questions, when I go to sleep with my friends, my answer, when you are responsible enough. When is it, actually? This is more kairos. Kairos deals with kind of state of being, certain completion, process is done. But judgment is based on, whose judgment is it? It's not when he feels he's responsible. It's when I see he's responsible enough. So many times in the Bible, when God says, I will do it at this time, or when I do this, when I come back, these are all kairos, not chronos. So the question with when will you believe, if it doesn't really matter how old you are, right? Simply because you are older, can you believe better? Or simply because you're younger, can you believe better? But there is certain thing about this time, but we use it together, though. We can't really use kairos alone. Because if you're just using kairos alone, there's no way of communicating in this world where we're living. We have to talk in terms of today and tomorrow. So somehow we have to have the both of them together. The word will indicates that it's not real right now, because this indicates future. So somehow, the question, if you're asking this question to you or to somebody, or if I'm asking it to myself, I'm acknowledging that there's a certain lack. There's a part that I'm not believing. But I'm hoping that it will happen in some time future. So again, this future could be chronos and kairos at the same time. The key word here is you. You have to believe it. Now, my question, next question is that what is enough to make you believe something? Who can make you believe something that you don't believe now? Or what can you make you, believe something that is beyond your rational, logical judgment? Or what should happen? What should it be? Key word is you. Because if you don't believe, if it's not real for you, then it is not real at all. Especially when we're talking about spiritual practice and spirituality, it's always, the most important part here is actually I. You're not being selfish here. Why? Because if I don't feel this as real, then it's not real for me. If it's not real for me, then if I say I believe it, actually I am lying. or pretending, which makes a gap in between the reality and assumption, which will cause a hurt feeling, that it hurts your heart. Or there's some feeling of vanity. If we create the gap, if I create the gap, the question is, how do I make myself believe something? I'm not even still talking about God yet. Anything. How do you believe your wife, your husband? How do you know you believe your son and daughter? How do you believe what I'm telling you is true? How do you believe those things? You know, well, you believe a lot. How do you believe the driver that is driving behind you will not just crush into you? I mean, we have certain logics about it, yes. Yeah, he doesn't want to die, so probably he'll not crush him. But we have that, right? Everybody wants to live. Nobody wants to die. That, in a way, is agreeable truth. But is that really true all the time? Not necessarily. Now, the last word is believe. I kind of checked out the dictionary. Believe means to take something as true or real. Funny thing is, how do we really know something is really true or not? We don't. So there are three things we rely on when we're making this judgment about this can be true. One, tradition or history. If it has been approved by many people throughout the generations, it might be true. Two is we kind of trust on the judgment of all our friends. When 99 people are saying it's true and one person objects, it may be true. Third, this is probably most important. You believe in your gut feelings. There's something in your heart, in your system, that when you hear something, even if it looks like true, but it's not true, you know. You don't know why, but somehow you know. Have you had that experience? Right? Somehow you know. Can you explain? And you can't. So this third part is somewhat is emphasized by the group of people called Gnostics and a lot of other theologians and spiritual teachers and mystical teachers. Yet this third part could be very selfish too. This could be used to justify what you think is true and what other people are saying is not true. Because we are all, in a way, selfish beings. So, am I giving you enough trouble on this happy Easter day? Jesus gave us this message. Our life here is not end. We have more to go. There's life eternal waiting for us. There's joy. There's happiness. But there is also the truth that it's not an automatic thing. It's not something that just happens naturally to all of us. This is something that we have to achieve it, obtain it. We have to work to get it. And in this message, over and over again, Jesus is challenging us, how will you believe something that is not believable to your mind? Or when will you believe it? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be God. It could be resurrection. It could be believing your husband and wife. It could be believing that, well, your life will be okay no matter what happens. But when Will you believe it? May God bless you all in this beautiful, special, wonderful Easter Sunday. And may God even bless you more in your journey to find the truth for you. Amen. Amen.